101.1 FM KPFT Pacifica Radio in Houston, Texas, 89.5 FM in Galveston, 91.9 in Huntsville, and streaming online at kpft.org. Amplified Houston is a collaboration of 5 nonprofit organizations: Baker Ripley, Boys and Girls Clubs of Greater Houston, Children at Risk, the Women's Home, the Houston Food Bank, and Houston's community radio station, KPFT Pacifica Radio. Listeners, all the programs you hear on KPFT are listener-supported. Become a sustaining member today by calling 713-526-5738 and pressing option 1. I am your host, Anna Coffey, and this is Amplified Houston, the Women's Edition, where we talk to women doing hard things. In today's show, I'm super excited because we are going to be speaking with Janelle Chitty, and you're going to understand why I'm so excited as soon as we get into this. But first, I want to tell you that Amplified Houston is supported in part by The Cottage Shop, a thrift store located at 811 Westheimer in Houston, which is owned and operated by the Women's Home, a 501c3 nonprofit organization. Proceeds from The Cottage Shop pay for programs that help women reclaim their lives. Further information can be found at thewomenshome.org/cottageshop. All right, let's get started. Listeners, you know that I am it is my pride and privilege to serve as the CEO of the Women's Home. And one of the things that I love about my job is that I get to watch miracles happen right in front of my eyes. One of those miracles is with us today. Janelle, welcome to the show. I am so excited to have you here.
Thank you, Anna. Thank you so much for having me.
So delighted. So let's start by getting to know you. Can you tell us a little bit about yourself and your journey to the Women's Home?
Yeah, absolutely. So I'm a grateful recovering addict alcoholic, a woman in long-term sobriety. I will have been sober. It'll be 13 years next month.
Oh, so proud.
Yeah. So super, super grateful, super blessed. And like so many women that come into the Women's Home, I came in completely broken, completely lost, completely broken. And it was the last house on the block for me. I was desperate. I was desperate to live. So I was willing to do anything and everything they were going to tell me to do, which was super vital in my recovery. I had been living an active addiction since I was about 16 years old, right? Started very young. And like so many others, my disease just progressed really fast throughout the years. And my addiction took me through hell, a lot of chaos and turmoil. Over the years. And finally, it was when I was 28 years old, when I was able to get sober, all by the grace of God, that I ended up at the Women's Home. And there were so many events that led me up there, right? It had to get a whole lot worse before it could get better, in a sense, for me. And I think everybody has a different bottom. Everybody has a different set of issues, right? Everybody has their own addiction, in a sense, but it really affects us all the same. It completely breaks us. And that's what it did. It completely broke me.
And by the grace of God, you made it to the Women's Home. Looking back, what was the moment that made you say something has to change? What gave you the courage to take that first step?
So there were actually two very pivotal moments towards the end of my addiction that got me to that point. And Anna, I'm going to go to a kind of a little dark place with you here. So a big pivotal moment at the end of my addiction was about 2 years before I got sober. A life-changing event occurred. My boyfriend, who I loved very dearly, but who was also an addiction with me, and was battling with his own demons. We had a very, although very passionate relationship, but a very toxic one. And we were arguing one day and he shot himself in the middle of this argument with me. And losing him like that completely changed my life forever, right? It took me to a very dark place. It was a moment I never thought I would come back from. So, but it took me even deeper into my addiction. You would think it would have been the moment that I was like, hey, this is too much. And for a short period of time, I think I was at that moment, like, hey, I can't keep doing this. But I had all this guilt and resentment and anger that built up, and it just took me to an even darker place. And I was just welcoming death. So for the next 2 years, I was just existing in my addiction. I wasn't living, and I was wanting to die. And it was finally, I got to the point where I gave up and I took a bunch of pills and I OD'd, ended up in the ICU for weeks because my liver completely shut down. My family and my friends were up there praying for me. And I'll tell you what, there's the power of prayer, because that prayer is what saved my life. And it was up there in that hospital room. And it's a true miracle that I survived, right? But after coming through and coming out of something like that, and even as angry as I was, right, that I survived, it was like, hey, okay, God gave me a second chance, right? I've got to live, and I've got to live right. So it was a very, I mean, that's the moment where I had to push myself into recovery. So I had to go and jump on board for the hardest battle of my life, right? Which is recovery.
Yeah. And actually, you know, it's those recovery stories and watching women do hard things, harder things than most of us ever have to do in our lives, that inspired this radio show. And those stories of just powering through and getting to that very dark place and, you know, realizing that, you know, I've got to make a change and gathering that courage to do it, that I just have so much respect and awe and admiration for the people who have walked through that fire. So obviously you've done an exceptionally hard thing by reclaiming your life from the disease of addiction. What were some of the hardest parts of your journey, and how did you kind of push through them?
So I think the hardest part, gosh, well, first of all, everything in recovery is hard at first. Okay. Even the little things. But I feel like the hardest thing was facing my demons, right? So processing all my guilt, my shame, my resentment, my anger, doing some very hardcore, deep soul searching and figuring out, hey, why am I always trying to change the way I feel, right? Why am I not okay with me and who I am? Mm-hmm. So I had to do a lot of work. It's a lot of, fearless moral inventory that you dive deep into. And it was hard, but I had a strong group of women surrounding me at the women's home that would help with that. Mm-hmm. And I had the power of prayer. So staying in constant prayer.
Yeah. I mean, you've mentioned prayer a few times now. That that spiritual part of your life sounds like it was a really important part of your recovery.
Absolutely, it was. And I'm going to be honest with you. I think my mama's prayers is what saved my life time and time again while I was in active addiction.
Mama's prayers are powerful. Yeah. I can so totally relate to her, because I've had people that are really important to me who have been lost in their disease of substance use disorder. And I prayed hard for them too. So, I'm curious about what some of the other tools were. You made a reference to a fearless and moral inventory, which of course is from the 12 steps. Was that a big tool for you?
Oh, absolutely. So it wasn't just, hey, okay, stop using and then learn how to be an adult, right? It wasn't like that. It was, hey, okay, I had to dive in. I had to plug myself in with some other very strong and inspirational women to help mm-hmm. guide me through that. I had to get a sponsor. I had to work my steps. I had to do anything and everything these people were telling me to do.
Yeah.
In a sense, if I wanted to or not, I had to do it. And it was very uncomfortable. I had to learn how to pick up the phone and reach out when I'm struggling. I had to learn how to pray in the morning and pray at night. I had to learn how to pray for others, even when I wasn't happy with them, right? There's all these different things in AA that you do, and they're just helpful in life in general, I think.
Yeah. Those tools are really powerful. I will share with the audience that I myself have worked the steps many times, up and down the steps, in the program of Al-Anon, as for family and friends of people with substance use disorder. So I can attest myself about how powerful those steps are. Okay, so Janelle, when you think about the woman you were and the woman that you are today, what are you most proud of?
So I'd have to say the change, right? So I the woman, or should I say the girl I once was, and the woman I am today are night and day. Yeah. They're completely different.
Yes.
So many people will say that, I found myself during my recovery and this, that, the other. I didn't find myself. I completely reinvented myself.
Yes.
Okay. This woman that I am today has no bearings on the woman I was before. So, and that's the beauty of this program, right? It's people that know me now. Okay, know me now in my everyday life that didn't know me back then. And if I try to share something I may have done in active addiction or whatever, something that transpired back there, they look at me like I'm crazy. Like they have, there's no way that you did that. There's no way, just because it's, there's no reflection there. And so the people that know me, that knew me back then and that see me now, they see me as a complete miracle. And it's amazing. Right. It's amazing.
You completely recreated yourself. That is really spectacular. And have you been able to mentor or support other women? You talk a lot about like the impact that being around other strong women and other women in recovery had for you. And of course, at the Women's Home, we believe with our full chest that community is an essential part of recovery and overcoming and reclaiming your life. So I wonder, have you been able to then pass that on to other women in your journey, other women who are in recovery? Have you been able to support or mentor others?
Absolutely. So, and not, it's not just, I support a lot of women that are in recovery, right? But there's also women in general, right? Women that are struggling. It might not just be with recovery. It might be with life. It might be with relationship issues. It might be with career issues or whatever it is that they're battling. And I love that I can kind of be a voice of reason for them. Like, hey, you're going to get through this. You're going to walk through this and it's going to be okay on the other end. It's going to suck right now. Okay. But you're going to walk through this.
Yeah.
And you're going to get relief. And I feel like the biggest thing that I always try to give others is hope and love, right? Mm-hmm. There's nothing else I can speak through my words or my actions. Yeah. I want them to see hope and I want them to feel love because without those two things, we have nothing.
That's right. That's right. And in the journey of recovery, I think in addition to community, that sense of hope is if you can inject someone with the hope that things may look really bleak today, but there is hope for you. And really, until you're in the ground, there is hope. I mean, I know people who have struggled with this disease their entire lives, and it's taken them to dark, dark places. And then, you know, late in life, they find that power within to overcome. There is hope until the very end. But it's hard to believe that when you're in the darkness, right? It's really hard. So, all right. So we're going to go to a quick commercial break and then we're going to come back. And I would love to hear your reflections after the break on substance use disorders and the stigma and that kind of thing around it. So Let's take a few seconds to talk about how this radio show is coming to you. KPFT takes no advertising dollars at all, and almost every one of the people who work to bring you the show are volunteers. Please call 713-526-5738 and press option one to become a sustaining member today. Okay, Janelle. Substance use disorders are so misunderstood in our community, in our environment, in our society. Can you help our listeners understand what is the one thing that you wish more people understood about the disease?
I think the biggest thing is that this disease does not discriminate. Okay. This disease does not care where you came from. It does not care what color you are.
Yes.
It does not care if you are male or female or whatever you identify as. It does not care how much money you have, right? Mm-hmm. It, none of that matters. This disease can attack anybody, I guess is the best way to say it. And it's not just about that person. It affects the whole family. I can guarantee you there is not a family out there that is not affected by substance use disorder in one way or another, whether it be their internal family, extended family, friend, coworker, whatever it is, it has affected their life somehow, you know, and it doesn't make them someone that is suffering from this does not make them a bad person. They are not a bad, I was not a bad person. I did bad things, right? My disease caused me to do some awful, awful things. But that doesn't make me a bad person. And I think the biggest thing is that people can change. You can change and overcome this disease if you want it, but you've got to want it bad enough to do the steps. Mm-hmm. And I feel like some people cancel people out that are going through it. And I can understand that. Sometimes you got to do some tough love, right? My family had to do some tough love for me. Everybody has their own breaking point, but there is light at the end of the tunnel.
Yeah. Yeah. That's a great message. Yeah, we always say at the Women's Home, it's an equal opportunity disease. We've had women from all walks of life come through our doors. And, you know, the thing that at the Women's Home, the people that we serve have three things in common. They have a substance use disorder. They have some form of a mental health condition. And they've experienced homelessness. And we get people from, you know, who had wonderful, thriving careers before their disease took them to a dark place, and yet they've ended up experiencing homelessness, you know, doing things that never in their lives would they imagine they would do. And, you know, it's just it's an equal opportunity disease. And I love the fact that you mentioned that it does not mean you're a bad person, because I think that's so much of the stigma comes from judging the actions of what people do when they're in the disease, rather than the value that the true moral character of the person. And it's really shocking what a person can do when they're in the throes of the disease, but that's not necessarily a reflection on their moral character. It's a reflection of the disease. And many people just can't separate those two. So what do you think? So are there gifts? Let me ask you this question first. What does substance use disorder feel like from the inside? And how did it affect the way you saw yourself and others?
So for me, I mean, it was just a complete empty feeling. It was constant turmoil. So my disease for me on the inside, I felt like I was literally battling for my soul. Okay. Mm. That's how dark it was. I've told people this before. I literally looked in the eyes of the devil, right? Mm. And I've overcome it and lived to tell the tale all by the grace of God. But I don't think I can do it again. I don't know if I have another recovery in me. Mm-hmm. My disease took me to the darkest, lowest point of my life where I didn't love or respect myself. And I don't think anybody around me did. Right? Everybody saw how bad I was. And it was to a point where I didn't feel like I was lovable. And that's a hard place to be in.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. So let's go back to the strength and the life afterwards. So what does freedom mean to you today, now that you're no longer defined by substance use disorder?
Freedom for me means I have the ability to be and do anything I want to in this world, right?
Right.
As long as I am willing to put in the work to do it, right? I am limitless. And there's something so powerful about that because before, once upon a time, it was always, oh, I can't do this because of this, right? There was always a reason and an excuse. And now I have no reason or excuse why I can't do something. So when people tell me they have an excuse on why they can't do something, I have kind of zero tolerance for it because you can, right? If you have the courage, the strength, and the wisdom to get through it,
Yes.
yeah, you have the ability to do whatever you want in this world.
Yes. Yes.
So there is nothing that is holding me back now. And I'm in charge of my own happiness. And
Yeah.
that happiness I am getting from my freedom to live the life I want to live, the life I'm meant to live, the life that God has blessed me to be able to live.
Yeah. Yeah. That's so powerful. I am limitless. I think that's going to be the quote that I take away from today. I'm limitless. So are there gifts or insights, strengths that you gain through your recovery that might surprise people, that were maybe a surprise to you?
So obviously, I think my resilience, but I think that's no surprise, right? When people go through recovery, they're resilient. But my resilience is my biggest thing. I can overcome anything in life. But I think my outlook on life, people might not fully understand. So all this turmoil and all this chaos and all the pain and all the heartache that I went through during my addiction, I'm grateful for it. Like, I am so grateful for those struggles. I hate to say it, I'm almost grateful for what I lost because I see the value in life now. I see life in a different way. I see the beauty in everything, right? And I can overcome anything. All these things I had to walk through made me the woman I am today, and I wouldn't change any of it for the world.
I'm so glad you said that because I think that is a surprise to many, many people. That many people who have lived through a substance use disorder and come out the other side, and I know it to be true in my life as well, the things that I've gone through in my life that have been super hard, I actually have gotten to a place of gratitude for them today because without them, I wouldn't have the life I have. Right.
Correct.
It was going through those trials and those really dark times that led me to the tools of recovery and the tools of support and community that I developed around me that now allow me to have a life that I truly love. And I'm really glad that you mentioned that, and that is, I think that is something that people are would really be surprised about who haven't lived through that kind of thing, because you do end up feeling grateful, which just sounds so
Yeah.
paradoxical, but yeah, people are grateful for having gone through the hard times because it brings you to this place that you never imagined would be possible. So, if you could go back and talk to yourself on your hardest day, what would you say?
Don't give up.
Don't
Keep
give up.
going. I promise it gets better. Just keep walking through it. You're about to be abundantly blessed beyond anything you could ever imagine.
And I imagine, so I was going to ask you what words of wisdom or advice do you have? There is certainly someone listening to this show who is in a dark place, whether it's because of substance use disorder or a mental health condition, whatever the case may be, what words of wisdom do you have for that woman right now?
You don't have to continue living the way you are. You don't have to continue living the way you are. You deserve more. I don't care how big or how small your problem is. You don't have to continue that lifestyle. There is a solution. There is a solution. You can get help. I promise you can change. It is possible. You just have to take the first step. You have to take the first step. Nobody else can do it for you. You have to pick up the phone, or you have to get in the car and go to the treatment, or whatever it is that your first step is, you've got to take it. You've got to reach out and start the process, because no one can do it for you and nobody will do it for you. And there's power in that first step.
And life is so much better on the other side.
Life is so much better on the other side. And I'll tell you what, these women, and I know myself included, like, we feel like we didn't deserve the great things in this world, but we do. You deserve happiness. You deserve love. You deserve peace, and you deserve joy.
Yeah, beautiful. All right. Well, as we wrap this up for today, Janelle, what brings you joy now?
Oh, I think what brings me joy is everything. There's so many things in my life now, Anna, that bring me joy. My family, my friends. I have a wonderful, amazing family who I am so plugged in with, and I'm so blessed and grateful to have. And even right now, I'm in this beautiful, amazing relationship that I never thought I could have, right? God has blessed me with a significant other that has surpassed my wildest dreams. And I never thought I would be worthy to be loved again, but I am. And it's healthy and it's godly, right? And there's something so beautiful and pure there that I am able to receive these gifts. And it took me over 12 years in recovery to get to that point, right? But there's just something so beautiful in it. And you've got to sometimes trust God, trust the process, and do the work, and amazing things happen. And then you find joy in everything, you know, you find joy in everything.
Yeah. Amazing. Amazing. So Janelle, you recorded a video for the Women's Home about your journey. And we actually have it up on our website. So listeners, if you'd like to hear even more about Janelle's journey, please go to our website, thewomenshome.org. And you will go to the section on stories and videos, and you'll find more about Janelle's journey there. Janelle, any parting words, any last thing that you want to share with our listeners?
I want everyone to know that this is all by the grace of God. And my God, who I choose to call Jesus, right? And it's all glory to him. And I'm just so grateful to be where I am. And people can change. You know, we don't have to be the statistic. We don't have to keep using. There is freedom in the steps. There is a solution. Whoever is struggling, please get help, because I promise you it's worth it. And life can be amazing. And everybody deserves love and happiness and joy.
Okay. On that note, thank you, Janelle. So wonderful to have you on the show today. Amplified Houston is supported in part by The Cottage Shop, a thrift store located at 811 Westheimer Road in Houston, which is owned and operated by The Women's Home, a 501c3 nonprofit organization. Proceeds from The Cottage Shop pay for programs that help women like Janelle reclaim their lives. Further information can be found at thewomenshome.com, thewomenshome.org/cottage shop.